It's HPR1, All Things Considered, and I'm Dave Lawrence. Today we've got a guest who had a big role musically in the state, one half of the hugely popular 70s duo Loggins and Messina. He's back with a tour, starts tomorrow, Garden Isle at KCC, continues Friday at the Mac, Saturday at the Honoka'a People's Theater, and a pleasure to welcome to the show Jim Messina. Hey, Jim.
How are you, Dave?
I'm good. Thank you for asking. How about yourself?
I'm good.
Well, thank you very much for being available. I've got quite a history in the islands. When you think of Hawaii, what comes to mind?
The images that are still pretty fresh in my mind is just before I shot the cover for Full Sail. I think we had just performed a concert in Hawaii, and I went over to Maui to spend some time. That's when I first was introduced to Lahaina. I just fell in love with the vibe of the whole town, and it was before it became commercialized. It was probably on the verge, maybe in the next couple of years. The people were soft and kind, and there were merchants that were selling, you know, different kinds of art pieces along the road there where the jetty went out to the harbor, and the little church that said, Jesus is coming. I mean, and the green grass and everything around that, the smell, the temperature, I really experienced it as paradise. And having grown up in a city and in the country of a much different environment, it really had an impression on me, very positive impression.
Loggins and Messina returned to Hawaii 6 months later, another sold-out show, this time the Blaisdell Arena. Right from the beginning, you were really successful here in the islands and made a huge connection. One of the artists that you guys are doing two sold-out shows at the Blaisdell, Leo Kottke, is opening 1975, and Paul and Linda show up.
That's right. I remember that night. Specifically because it was a shock to look back there and see this face that I had recognized on so many album covers. And he was such a kind and gentle person, you know, no pretenses or, you know, the typical rock and roll ass was not present. He was just so kind and wonderful. And his wife, Linda, actually made a connection with my wife. And over the years, she would send a calendar each year to us that had all of their friends and people's birthdays on it. And my former wife, Jenny, kind of took that as a template, and she started something very similar in our lives that created a calendar. And it was really because of our connection there with Paul and Linda that happened.
Is that the only time you crossed paths with Sir Paul?
That's the only time I crossed paths with him until his wife had died, and I was in Santa Barbara. A mutual friend was doing a vigil in Santa Barbara and asked me to come and play just acoustically a song and support the whole memorial, which I did. And then I met George in London just casually walking through. I think Kenny and I were doing a convention over there, a CBS convention. One of the nights, George had come there, and I got a chance to meet him. Got a chance to meet Ringo under funny circumstances, but I did get a chance to meet him.
What was
Never
that?
Met John. Pardon me?
What was the Ringo circumstance?
Oh, Jim Webb, the singer-songwriter, and I went to high school together, and he was about a year older than I and came to Hollywood before I did. Managed to have a wonderfully successful career, especially with the Glen Campbell songs. But I guess he was Ringo's neighbor. One evening, it was New Year's Eve, and my former wife and I had been someplace and ran into Jim, and it was getting kind of late. He says, I want you to come over to my house. Have you ever met Ringo? And I said, no, I never have. And he says, well, our kids play together, and, you know, our wives and everybody know each other, and he's having a party, and, you know, if you want to go, you know, I'll take you. So he had a limousine, and we said, sure, why not? We jumped in the limousine, and, you know, we're all smiling, you know, thinking, you know, God is good, God is good.
Right.
And we get there, and we go in, and there's somebody standing at the driveway, and they said, I'm sorry, but you can't come in here unless you have a pass. And Jim says, roll down the window, and he rolls down the window, and he says, hey, it's Jim Webb. He said, I'm a friend of his. And the guy says, well, he's got a lot of friends, but unless you got a pass, you're not coming in. So he says, well, that's crazy. He says, you get him over here. So I guess they call Ringo over, and Ringo comes over and goes, hey, Jim, how you doing? He says, great. He says, you know, Happy New Year. He says, Happy New Year. He says, I've got Jimmy Messina and his wife here, and he'd never met you before, and I thought maybe we could come visit you at your party. And he looks over at me, he says, hey, it's nice to meet you. And he goes, you know what? You can't get in unless you have a pass. and Jim almost died from being so red in the face. So I thought, well, that was an interesting friendship. He was so embarrassed by it, but, you know, it was okay. We went on from there, and oddly enough, Roger Miller called. Jimmy told him this story. He said, oh, come over to our house. So we went over to Roger Miller's house. Apparently had just played someplace. I had never seen Roger Miller's band. I knew Roger because when I was a young guy, about the time I was mixing, I had met David Crosby and mixed Joni Mitchell's first demo. I was working at a studio that had all the rockabilly singers that would come in, and Roger Miller. So I had met him earlier, but I had never really been around his band or his live performances, cut demos and stuff. And so anyway, I'm sitting in their house just past midnight, New Year's Eve, and everybody's dressed very formally. You know, they got tuxedos on, and we're all sitting on the couches, and Roger's living room was very elegant. And he says, hey, Jimmy, would you come back here, and I was wondering if you'd do me a favor. So he takes me in the back and into a room that's off the side of the kitchen. He says, you know what? He says, I've just had too much to drink, and I can't tune this instrument, and I want to play a song. So I said, okay, so I tune it up for him. He goes, hey, man, thanks a lot. So we go back in, and I sit down back on the couch, and he stands up in front of the fireplace. The fireplace is going, and he starts singing this song. And then all of a sudden, to my left, I hear these three background voices come in. And I look over there, and the three gals that had come in that were sitting on another couch started to sing. And then all of a sudden, a guy gets up, and he walks over to a grand piano that's sitting there and starts to play. And the magic that was happening in that room, the voices and Roger's song, and it was just the most incredible experience I'd ever had in an informal situation with people that are as gifted and talented as that. So having Miss Ringo's party, I think, was serendipitous when all is said and done.
Those are great moments when things like that...
Yeah, absolutely.
On so many levels.
Exactly.
What a huge story, though. The man, that was a real education to hear on both of those, but the Ringo one, that's rock and roll, man.
Yeah, it is rock. It's rock and roll for you. Fast friends, fast relationships, and fast exits.
As we go to wrap it up, I give you a hug, a high five. I hope everything's good. Hope you had fun talking. It's a shame you're not doing Honolulu.
Well, you know what? It sounds like, you know, you're really... invested in music. Like you pointed out, many years ago I played Hawaii, and 6 months later I was back doing something again. So who knows? You know, maybe this will be a nice little spark.
If we can ever get you into we have a nice 75-seat little performance studio attached to the radio station. It's done all kinds of Booker T. We just had a thing in there, Taj Mahal. It's a good room to do stuff. Do something. If you're in Honolulu, you could string a couple nights together, make enough to make it pay off, whatever. You could
sure.
You could do it solo. You know, you could do it as a benefit.
And maybe the idea would be to record it and use it at a later time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
However we can do it. And maybe we do Oahu and maybe one of the other islands or something. So I'd love to help out in however I can if we're there and can fit it in, I'm good.
Thank you, brother.
All right, bye-bye. Hey, this is Jim Messina here with my friend Dave Lawrence. Enjoy.
Time and again, I've seen you staring out of me. Now then and again, I wonder what it is that you see. With those angry eyes, well, I bet you wish you could cut me down with those angry eyes. With those angry eyes, what a shot you could be if you could shoot at me with those angry eyes.